The ballots got longer in Jackson County this fall by one race. There was not supposed to be a race for Oregon State Senate District 3 this year because Senator Alan Bates of Medford was in the middle of a four-year term. But Senator Bates died suddenly in early August, and by Oregon law, the timing of his death triggered the naming of an interim and an election for the final 2 years of the Senate term. Kevin Talbert has been appointed interim senator. He is not running for the job, but now you'll meet the two people who are. Senate District 3 is roughly the southern half of Jackson County, including Ashland and most of Medford. Republican Alan DeBoer and Democrat Tanya Morrow are running. Alan DeBoer joins us first. He's the owner of a couple of car dealerships and the former mayor of Ashland, among many other jobs. Alan DeBoer, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. It's sure nice to wake up to the rain, which reminds us of our environment and livability of Southern Oregon.
Environment. You know, it's interesting. I noticed that on your website, too. For a Republican to start with environment is not a fairly typical thing. So tell us about your environmental ethic.
Well, I was born here in Ashland. And we all live in Oregon because of the wonderful state it is and the environment and protecting our land, and protecting our resources. Such an important thing. So,
and what do you see as the primary role of state government in that you could help along as a state senator?
Oh, I think there's a lot. I know, the fire and the thinning projects we've done in Ashland when I was mayor and continue in reducing the risk of fire. The smoke is such a big issue to our health.
Okay, so one of the things it says in your web material is Alan is committed to reining in out-of-control spending to make sure your tax dollars are spent efficiently and effectively. So where do you see tax dollars being spent out of control?
I think the biggest two examples is the Oregon Health Plan and the bridge. That's $500 million.
The Columbia River Crossing,
yes.
The bridge? Okay, which is obviously not in the process of being planned anymore at all. Everything shut down there. A lot of money spent there, but you just mentioned Oregon Health Plan. What's being done wrong there and what needs to be corrected?
Well, we had a failure with our plan. We were suing the vendor and made a small settlement, but there was $200 million, actually a little bit more than that, mm-hmm. wasted in a plan that just didn't work. People couldn't sign up. We went back to manual. There are things we can do with my experience in business and my experience in volunteering with the Ashland School District, the Ashland Hospital, Southern Oregon Historical Society, Ashland Family YMCA, Southern Oregon University, Rogue Community College, Interfaith Care Community of Ashland, Affordable Housing, Ashland Food Bank, the City of Ashland as mayor, Mount Ashland Ski Area, and World Service through Rotary. And on the behalf of my 220 employees.
So you cited a failure of the Oregon Health Plan, and you're talking specifically, I think, about Cover Oregon, the state's gateway to the marketplace that didn't work. And was finally just done away with in the recent settlement with Oracle that at least brings some money back to Oregon. The Oregon Health Plan itself, though, trying to insure lower-income people, do you think that's on the right track, or is there out-of-control spending there, too?
We need to have affordable health care for everyone in our state. You bring up Cover Oregon. When I was on the Ashland Community Hospital Board, we uncovered some problems with Medicaid. I had to sign a non-disclosure agreement, but Senator Bates worked very closely with me for a huge settlement for really mismanagement. And at the time, the hospital so desperately needed it, I actually signed it. And I'll go to the Attorney General when elected, and we'll bring this all out in public and get released from my disclosure.
Okay, it sounds all interesting, but fraud on whose part?
Well, that's part of the disclosure, but it was actually a misuse of Medicaid funds.
Okay. Medicaid funds in Oregon are spent through the Oregon Health Plan. Is it on the right track, the OHP, or do you think there needs to be some tweaking there with the program as it exists now at large?
We need to better deliver services. I mean, it's just clearly that simple. Anybody, I mean, if you're in the private sector, I mean, you have $5,000 deductible health insurance bills from $400 to $1,200 a month. I don't know how anybody affords it.
Okay, let's move on to revenue for the state, because a big issue, particularly with this election, with ballot measure 97 sitting out there, talking about raising gross receipts on businesses. You can cast this in terms of your own business or your brother's business, Lithia Motors, or just in general, but what do you think about the effect on the parties being taxed, but the revenue that it would bring into state government?
You know, it's a tax. It's based upon gross receipts, not just my brother's business. It doesn't affect me because I'm an S-Corp. So on a C Corp, his taxes actually become more than he makes in the state of Oregon. Grain growers up in eastern Oregon, same thing.
More than he makes, you mean more than he gets in profit?
More than he makes in profit. Mm-hmm. So you end up paying more than your profit. Now, it's pretty simple to figure out what will happen. So, you know, the Oregon Legislative Revenue Office has come out with a report of massive job loss, tremendous growth in government. And it's just not the right way to do it. If there are indeed loopholes for the C-Corps not paying taxes, let's go in and fix those. Because everybody should pay their fair share of taxes. And I think business is willing to pay more. We used to have a business kicker, if you'll remember. Mm-hmm. I led the charge, being president of the new car dealers in Oregon, to give that back to the state. And corporate America, or corporate Oregon, was unanimous in giving that back. So, you know, it was supposed to go into a rainy day fund. I think the fund lasted 1 year, and then it was all drained. But look at the revenue in Oregon. Our revenue has had a steady increase, more than cost of living, for the last, I think, 30 years, except for one biennium where it dipped slightly. That's not a story you hear.
But then again, you've also had to take that same amount of revenue then with this increase you cite and have to devote some of that money back to school districts since the passage of Ballot Measure 5 slashed the property taxes for the school districts. Nobody's ever talked about bringing in the replacement revenue, which was the term back then in 1990, about backfilling the hole that was created in the state budget.
But without Measure 5, what would our property taxes be today? And look at the revenue that has increased. So we need people that have fiscal knowledge, which I have. I run some pretty big businesses. And I pay my fair share of taxes. But we need to go up there and apply that fiscal knowledge. First of all, you know, what can we do more effectively? How can we deliver better service? I spent 8 years on the school district board. I'm concerned about when I first came on, there was teachers' layoffs, bought a bunch of unhappy employees, vowed that wouldn't happen during my 8 years. We balanced the budget. We made some great things like Willow Wind. Lauren Lumen and I went out and bought that. Payback was 8 years. And what a tremendous asset for homeschool children and alternative education in Ashland. And that completely paid for itself in 8 years by itself. So now it's a profit center for the school district.
Alan DeBoer is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, running for Oregon State Senate in District 3, which was vacated by the death of Alan Bates in early August. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Let's talk about some of the differences between you and Tanya Morrow, the Democratic candidate who will be heard after you. As a car, it's interesting because you're a car dealer, and Tanya Morrow is the board chair of the Rogue Valley Transportation District, the bus line. Do you believe in public transportation?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. When Rogue Valley Transit District first started, I was running advertising for Lithia Motors. I went and said, "Let's put signs on your buses," and I was their first customer to provide them revenue from outside a tax base and show them how to generate profit through advertising. And when I was mayor of Ashland, we had free bus service.
That's right.
I mean, that's pretty cool. And people said, "Well, gee, let's lower it to a quarter." And I said, "You know what? A quarter is not much money, but if you don't have one in your pocket, you can't get on the bus." And I was really proud of the council, Southern Oregon University, through their student association. Every day came in and helped. And it was pretty cool. I'm really proud of that.
What do you see as the transportation needs of the state of Oregon? Because we've had the Transportation Vision Panel come out and say, you know, there are a lot of areas that need some attention in Oregon. What do you see as the greatest?
We need to keep our infrastructure up. We used to increase the gas tax a penny or 2 pennies every session. They stopped in 1993 doing that, I believe. Cost of gasoline went from $2 to $6. The state never got any extra revenue out of that. And it's funny now that we see vehicle miles traveled as gas prices went down. So then they're screaming we don't have enough money. It's kind of like water in Ashland. As we conserve water, now the city doesn't get the same revenue. So the real question being that we probably need to increase the fuel tax some. I don't think we need a whole new. There's a government program called ORGO, which is now between federal and state spending $10 million to do a sample program. It'll put electronic transponders in all of our cars.
To measure mileage. For cars that don't pay gas tax, or much anyway.
Well, I mean, that's easy to do. Just increase their registration $100. That's about equal to what their gas tax would be.
So a flat fee for registration, you're saying?
Just on electric cars. I mean, there's easy ways to do it without creating a whole new bureaucracy. And, you know, the state doesn't know how to deal with collection, too, because you're going to bill people. We know that 15% aren't going to pay. So then how are you going to do that? I actually had a state official tell me, well, we can turn their car off. Now, she doesn't realize that the system they're putting in won't allow that. But that was the attitude because, you know, now you're going to collect 85% of what you bill, and then you're going to go after the people that least can afford it and do what with them? Right now we have a system that costs zero to put in. It's 100% collected. And so now we look at a different way to change it. I don't know if we want to spend more money on electronics. You know, our kids, and we're all becoming more dependent. And when a natural disaster occurs, how do we deal with all that as everything collapses?
Let's come back to schools, because we haven't spent a lot of time there. K-12 schools, ongoing challenge in the state of Oregon to keep them funded, particularly with the recent revenue report that indicates there could be a dip in the next biennium, plus the unfunded liability for paying pensions for retirees in the state of Oregon. How do you keep schools in Oregon not only harmless, but perhaps add to them and improve the performance on things like graduation rate, which is not good?
You know, when I was on school board, we dealt with graduation rate. We started it. There's a reason why Ashland's graduation rate is one of the best in the state, because we started it, I think it was 18 years ago. We identified PERS as the biggest problem in the state. Nobody would listen to us. Almost all of the PERS board that were putting the rules in were on PERS, which was a complete conflict of interest. We put alternative education programs in, whether it was the outdoor wilderness school, and numerous alternative programs. My goal as a school board member was to get every kid to walk at graduation, and I didn't care how we did it. Kids learn at different rates. They have different interests. The lack of vocational training that's leaving our schools, music, foreign language, those are all things that round the brain and help a child. So I'm really proud of our teachers. Ashland has one of the best school districts, as Southern Oregon. And, of course, the livability of our area is one of the greatest assets we all have, and we need to protect that at all costs.
Beyond K-12 education, District 3 is the home to Southern Oregon University. How do you keep that viable and affordable?
And Rogue Community College.
Mm-hmm.
So I was instrumental in bringing Rogue Community College to Jackson County and to downtown Medford. I worked tirelessly at remodeling the old Wards building for them, creating our old car dealerships, donating one of the dealerships. When President Elizabeth Zinsser called me on behalf of Senator Bates and Representative Buckley, they said, we need local support. And I happened to own a third of the land under the new RCCSOU building. And she said, would you donate it? And it took me about 2 seconds to say, certainly. And I like to think that started the ability for the state to help fund that great resource.
How, then, do we continue to keep SOU funded, though?
Hopefully not through student fee increases. I met with students here, and, you know, they wanted me to lower the mandatory maximum increase from 5 to 4, and I said, you know, I'd like to lower it to 0 increase and maybe reduce student debts bothering students. You know, the how is based upon financial knowledge I have of finding savings.
Mm-hmm.
Finding loopholes that people are not paying taxes, and help the state improve its financial situation.
Okay, so a lot of tightening up, it sounds like, on the edges there. Alan
Absolutely.
DeBoer, running for the Senate District 3 seat in Jackson County. Thank you for joining us today on the Jefferson
Show. Yeah, the hardest part I have is to get everyone to ignore party and to vote. So one of my new supporters says, I have not voted for a Republican since Eisenhower, and she's typically on my board, so let's ask for your vote, and I'd appreciate your support and give me the opportunity that what I've done to all the organizations I've been involved in.
Okay. Alan DeBoer, thanks again.
Thanks.